sometimes the best of intentions can lead to the worst consequences. So that's what I want to talk about today here on Free For All Friday. In particular, I want to talk about the issue of mental health, severe mental health issues, people with severe mental illnesses, the homeless, the suffering that the homeless undergo, and the vast majority do so because they have some kind of a drug addiction. And the drug addiction is usually related to self-medication attempts for mental illnesses. What do we do about that? And maybe policies in the past that had good intentions have led to worse results today, and we need to rethink them. And maybe we should go back to policies in the past that may not have been perfect, but we could improve them better than what we have now. So welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. But on Friday, we talk about whatever I feel like talking about. So today, I want to talk about this. It's something that I've noticed. It was one of the reasons, actually, we moved from California to Texas. There's a myriad of reasons why we didn't want to live in California anymore. But it really is astounding that California presents itself as this bastion of liberal, progressive utopia, right? They have a super majority of Democrats in the state house. They haven't had a Republican governor in, you know, decades. What, since Arnold was the governor, the governator? You know, even then, he's a moderate Republican, right? The Democrats there in California can do whatever they want, right? And they're very progressive, you know? So if progressivism solves so many problems, why don't we see all of the solutions in California? The answer is we don't. I mean, California has one of the highest rates of wealth disparity. It has the highest rates of homelessness in the nation. And yet California pursues policies they think will help the homeless, help those who are mentally ill. And there's severe reasons to doubt that. But it goes back a lot further than what's happened in California. But I want to center it there because that's a biographical for us. And I've noticed the decline. Like I grew up in San Diego, the San Diego metropolitan area. I was born there in 1985. And I grew up there until I was about 10 years old. And then my family moved back there to work at Catholic Answers back in 2013 when I started Catholic Answers. But since that time, and that was, you know, 10 years ago, I have noticed a dramatic decline in California. Like nowadays, there are places in downtown San Diego I could walk and they're pleasant and you could walk through and it was just fine. And now it is too dangerous. There are transients, homeless individuals, and it's not just the fact that they're transient or homeless, but many of these people, you'll walk through, they'll start screaming at you for no reason, charging at you. They're just completely unpredictable. So you have no idea if they're going to, they threaten violence, and you have no idea if they're going to carry out those acts of violence. Certainly not a place I'd want to take my wife and children to those areas of town, which I used to enjoy going to not that long ago. And I feel like in so-called progressive areas, you know, we see this in California, you see it in other progressive, so-called progressive cities. The way that they treat homelessness and mental illness is sort of a hands-off approach. It's basically, well, just let these people live wherever they want, sleep wherever they want, defecate wherever they want, and just let them be, even though it causes harm to property owners, to other people, and to those who are homeless who are mentally ill. They're victims of crime amongst each other in these homeless shanties and encampments. Why is that? Why have we gotten to a point where people feel like it's more humane to allow someone to suffer from severe mental illness to live and sleep out on the street instead of having a bed and a roof over their head and warmth and comfort and food and medicine? Why wouldn't we do that? Because for many people, the only way to give them those things is to institutionalize them. And since the 1960s, there has been a dramatic push for deinstitutionalization. Although one reason there's been a push for it, but also a lack of need for it. So modern antipsychotic drugs were developed in the mid 1950s. And since that time, there has been a 90% reduction in the number of people who are housed in mental hospitals. Okay. And when we look at that, so part of that decline is just that now people have reliable psychiatric medication. Now, I think there's legitimate arguments that can be made. We are over-medicating people today. We see everything as a mental illness, any kind of discomfort, especially among younger people, among Gen Z. There's a legitimate argument that can be made. We are over-medicating people and treating things, overblowing things, giving diagnoses that aren't really there or aren't really helpful. Or you could do things besides psychiatric medication to treat them, like cognitive behavioral therapy or just lifestyle adjustments, like getting off the internet, exercising. Now, you know, people say, Trent doesn't believe in psychiatric drugs. He's telling you to get off your meds. I am not saying that. I am not a doctor. I'm not giving medical advice. So two things can be true at the same time. You can say some psychiatric drugs do work for people with severe cases of mental illness, and there are many cases where people are misdiagnosed or over-medicated and over-relying on psychiatric drugs when you could use other kinds of treatment. So the problem is the people who really need these drugs, who really need this, people with severe schizophrenia, borderline personality disorder. You see these people who are homeless, who resort to drugs, who are unable to function. They would be able to function if they would take their medications. And so many of them can function with the medication, and then they just stop taking it. So what do you do? And many times, the only way you can force someone to take their medication is if they are institutionalized. And so asylums served that purpose throughout most of modern American history. Were these places bad? Yeah, they were. There's a problem, of course. I mean, any kind of medicine before modern 20th century medicine, which also has its issues, is going to be bad. Like, try going to the dentist in the 19th century. Like, I couldn't even imagine something like that. But a lot of these asylums meant to help people who are mentally ill. A lot of times people are there who didn't need to be there. There was a case of Elizabeth Packard in the 19th century who was institutionalized just because her husband disagreed with her views on religion, and she was just stuck there and then eventually freed later and founded a society that was dedicated towards anti-insane asylums. Then there's other people that were put in insane asylums or put in places that were, parents, even you could have cases of unwed mothers, of other people, just social undesirables who were put away into, locked up into insane asylums. There's a film back in 2008 with Angelina Jolie called Changeling. I spoke about the story on a Free For All Friday a long time ago about cases of mistaken identity. And it's about a real woman, Christine Collins, back in the 1920s. Her son went missing, and then the police said, "We found your son." And she's like, "That's not my son." They're like, "Of course it's your son, you crazy dame. All the blood from your head must have gone to your uterus. Clearly this is your son. Take him home, you'll see." And she's like, "No, that's not my son." And it's crazy. And eventually she's trying to get the police, "Find my son. Like, you know, this isn't my son." And the boy was not her son. He lied about it because he wanted a free trip to L.A. to see his favorite actor. And then the police, she said, "Listen, lady, you're being hysterical and I'm going to have you committed." And he had her committed into an insane asylum just for, you know, disturbing the police or something like that. An event, a sad story, too. They didn't find her son. They never found her son. It's been theorized that he might have been one of the victims, a boy who was a victim of a serial killer. It's called the Wineville Chicken Coop Murders. It happened in Mira Loma, California in 1928. So you had these cases. We had insane asylums of people that weren't supposed to be there, and it truly did drive them insane being there, or people who needed to be there, but it was filthy conditions, it was decrepit conditions, and it was something that was just really, really bad. So Albert Deutsch, back in 1948, wrote a book exposing this called The Shame of the States to show just the decrepit conditions people are under in the nation's insane asylums. Like I said, 1948, that we're still 10 years away from any kind of antipsychotic drugs to help people. But what really caused people to question the idea of, well, you should call them mental institutions, not insane asylums, because sanity, I think that's really more of like a legal term that's used. But regardless, it's definitely going to be the book One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So that was the 1962 book by Ken Kesey, K-E-S-E-Y, Kesey, Kesey. So Kesey's book, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, was later adapted into film. So you probably haven't read the book, but you're probably at least familiar with the film One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, 1975, with Jack Nicholson. And so Nicholson, I think he's like a Korean War veteran. Is he Vietnam? No, he's a Korean War veteran, at least in the book. I forget if they changed that in the movie. And he's been convicted of several crimes, so he decides just to take a sentence at a mental institution so he doesn't have to go to jail. And there, Nicholson's character, McMurphy, he's befriended by Chief, who actually is legitimately mentally ill. Like, he thinks there's this combine that is, running everything in the world. And he sees there's other people there. But especially if you go back to the novel, you start to see that from Kesey's perspective, the people in the insane asylum, they're not truly mentally ill. They're just weak or awkward members of society. And they're being oppressed by, people at the hospital, especially Nurse Ratched, probably one of the best film antagonists of the 20th century. And so, spoiler alert, you haven't seen it. He tries to lift the spirits of the other quote-unquote inmates of the asylum. And then by the end of the film, Ratched, she manipulates one of the men so that he ends up killing himself. And then Jack Nicholson's character attacks Ratched, and she gets her revenge by having him lobotomized. And then after the lobotomy, Chief doesn't want him like that the rest of life, so he smothers him with a pillow, which probably wouldn't actually work. But regardless, and then he rips out, what does he rip out? He rips out, I thought it was like a sink, like a kitchen sink, not a water fountain, like a kitchen sink or something, rips it out of the ground, throws it through the wall, and he runs for freedom. And everyone's like, yeah, they're cheering. Yeah, it's great. And so this really, the book and the movie had a big impact on people in the 20th century, thinking that mental hospitals were making people worse, not better. And in some cases, they probably were, if there weren't enough resources to maintain them, if they were run down, or if you have nurses and doctors who are acting sadistically. But also, it sort of proposed this idea that mental illness is just, it's just another way of living. It's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with looking at the world in a different way. And that people, they were arguing that people in the Middle Ages with schizophrenia were happier because they could just live off on the land and, they could be free and wander the countryside. No, probably not. Probably, died a very early premature death or were accused of or convicted of other crimes and meted out with medieval punishment. So I highly doubt it was better for them. But the persisting idea was that, Kesey and others are saying the institutions are what's bad, that freedom is what we need to propose for people. So this idea that came from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest after that is that, someone's with a mental illness, like, we should just let them be free and respect their freedom. But in reality, it's a freedom in name only. When you're constantly in fear of being a victim of violence, of being a victim of the elements, of not being able to flourish as a human being because you're sick and you can't get help because you're not capable of taking the help yourself, and it needs to be given to you involuntarily, basically, in order for you to get better. So I'm not pretending I have all the answers here of what needs to be done, but I do think it is not humane to simply value freedom and autonomy to allow people to live lives of squalor that are a threat to themselves and also a threat to other people. Look at what we've seen in recent years of attacks on subways, attacks on public transit. People should be able to go through society with some modicum of safety. That's the whole point of living in society. And if there are people in society who willfully threaten the safety of others, they need to be punished. They're incarcerated if they're, commit a violent crime to pay their debt to society. If they're a threat to society involuntarily, like they have a mental illness, then that needs to be treated, and they need to be separated from society as long as they are a danger and forcibly treated. Oh, and if they can't be treated, then separated, not because they deserve punishment, but just because we have to maintain safety for other people and protect their dignity as well as a human being. So that's why it is hard for me when I see, some individuals, when you see liberal and progressive politicians spouting these lines, and this goes back to people who had very romantic ideas of mental illness and, overly harsh ideas about mental hospitals or asylums. Maybe there's a way to bring them back, the church should operate these sorts of institutions and do so in a way that is respectful of the dignity of the person. I don't know. I think that's something to seriously consider. It's not a solution, because you'll have places like California, they'll say, with homelessness, housing first. You just give people housing. No, if somebody's mentally ill or addicted to drugs, you give them housing, they're either going to leave the housing, lose the housing, or they're going to die inside that housing. Yeah, I mean, California, they were spending, they're spending like millions of dollars building apartments for homeless people, when you could probably give, in a lot of these cases, you give a person who is down on their luck, who is just down on their luck, right? and they risk being homeless, but they're perfectly healthy and they're, you know, of sound mind and body. If you gave them $1 million, they could just invest that money in a mutual fund and live off the interest. At least they could cover their basic expenses on that. They could probably live off the interest, frankly. But yet you'll have places where they're building apartments for the homeless that have like granite countertops in California because everyone's got a right to have a granite countertop. It's just mind-boggling the waste that can come from that when there really needs to be a better way. There is a good book recently I've wanted to pick up by Michael Schellenberger. He's a author I've really enjoyed reading recently. He has a book called San Francisco, which talks a little about that. And he's done some articles on homelessness saying, because people say, oh, it's just poverty is the cause of homelessness. Well, no, there's other places around the world that are places in the United States that have higher rates of poverty, yet they have lower rates of homelessness. You have rates of poverty decreasing in areas like California, in some areas of California, but homeless rates still increase. So there's some great resources. Check out Michael Schellenberger, Homelessness. I definitely recommend that and his book, San Francisco. So thank you guys so much and hope you have a very blessed weekend.